Blaues Rauschen.
Welcome to Blaues Rauschen, the podcast where we explore the intersections of art, music and sound across analog and digital worlds. In podcast episode 35, Aneta Muscheri talks with Merce Blasco and Fasané about two performances at Festival Blaues Rauschen 2026 that expand our understanding of perception, fauna and live human-computer improvisation. Merce Blasco and Fasané are both multimedia artists, but they arrived there through different paths. Merce Blasco's background in engineering and music has shaped her approach to sound as something physical and open-ended. Fasané began with classical music and film before moving towards technology, driven by a curiosity about how sound can continuously evolve. What connects them is a shared interest in performance as a space where sound, body, and technology meet through improvisation.
Hi, Merce. Let's dive straight into your project, Fauna. What's your approach to building your own instruments, and what influences of sound and music shape your work?
I mean, it was an evolution, and it started with the frustration of the instruments that I had when I started as electronic music composer and performer. Yeah, the frustration with the commercial instruments, mainly like a laptop or a synthesizer, and how all the interfaces or even how the design of any like Ableton or like usual softwares that are used for electronic music or electroacoustic music impose you a certain ideas and ideologies on how the music should be composed or performed. And from that frustration emerged the need of creating my own instruments that could integrate more my body, that could welcome site-specific qualities of the space, that would be unpredictable, and then who would help me improvise or like fight with play with, establish like more interesting relationships that could be developed on stage for me than where I was coming from as an electronic music composer. So I started building my own instruments for that, and then found out, because like the instruments kept changing depending on what I was interested at that time, or like a musical phenomenon or a material exploration or a specific site that I wanted to engage. And I decided to call it Fauna, because to me they are like, fauna is like a body of animals and creatures, and to me, because they are a little bit alive and they all have like their personalities, and my relationship with them like changed, like I decided to use fauna as this improvisation that I do with these creatures.
It sounds as if your performance unfolds through a series of feedback loops. Is that what improvisation means to you?
I call it sometimes like this cybernetic system, but they're like feedback loops at different levels, because in one hand there's like the material feedback loop, like what I'm trying to do in the first part of the performance is like have this feedback loop with the materials of the space where they start like vibrating depending on how like the sounds that I'm producing and how I'm interacting with the instrument and the materiality of the instrument that I'm playing at that specific moment. And then there's also like there are changes in light that you hear it like affecting the sound, and that creates another kind of like internal loop. And I feel like how, because it's an improvisation, like I'm always reacting, and because the instruments are imprecise by nature, I always have to listen. Like I think there are like feedback loops on multiple levels.
In your Blaues Rauschen description, you speak of a horizontal relationship with your instruments. What does that mean in practice?
So keeping it within fauna, like there are different, like the instruments that I design, they're by nature imprecise, like the sensors or the type of the technology is very cheap and not precise. It helps with the improvisation, or is more true with the type of music and performance that I want to do. So there is a certain like agency and risk and not knowing what's going to happen, but just like having to be really present in the process to see how I have to react in real time. This was part of my dissertation, like how ideas of power and control get embedded into these instruments.
So on the one hand, you reverse the usual relationship between artist and instrument. But at the same time, your work seems to resist the idea of control, doesn't it?
No, I know. I mean, I put a lot of thought on how to present these pieces. Like if I'm trying to work with vibrations, like I try to like ask for a good setup of subwoofers, or I don't know, like I think about the experience of how to, offer the best sensorial experience in a way. Like before I started building my own instruments, I used to have visuals, for example, and I decided to take out the visuals because I realized that everybody was looking at a screen and then you're missing other things. So yeah, it's not controlling, but it's kind of like shaping, yeah.
Thank you, Mirza. We now turn to Farzana and her work Life, Human, Computer, Improvisation. In your performance, you create a dialogue between yourself and an AI system. What are you hoping to discover through this interaction?
So when I started first working with machine learning, I mean, first, when I started working with programming or generative environments, I was already interested that there was something that was kind of expanding my existing ideas in a way. So I would like write something or create something generative, but then it would take it somewhere else that I wouldn't think of alone. And then I would go somewhere else. So it was always this idea of like having a back and forth situation in creation with a computer. And that started to get really interesting to me. So I shifted my focus mainly on, during my master's research, my focus was on creating an AI-driven agent that is able to improvise. What my goals are, for example, with working with a machine. Well, a lot of people use machine learning for optimization or for having very smooth or pleasing or, very optimized results. But what I'm personally interested in is understanding that the computer has its affordances and limitations, and me as an artist, I also have my affordances and limitations. And what I try to do is not try to kind of domesticate this distance or to close it, meaning that I don't want a computer. Yeah, when I'm developing an agent, I am not interested in developing an agent that can imitate human behavior, but I try to see it as a very different entity that it is with its own perception, and then trying to kind of play with that. And yeah, I don't really look for optimization, but I even sometimes look for maybe moments of what I call mutual destabilization, where the algorithms are used in a way to kind of maybe refuse or push back. And my general goal is to find collaborative aesthetic discovery in working with the computer, specifically through sound and improvisation.
Do you see AI more as a collaborator or rather as a tool?
I would say neither, maybe. Yeah, neither kind of like satisfies me as an answer, but because, you know, it's not really a tool for me because it can have agency. A tool is something that you pick up and you put down and it doesn't really change you in a way. And, you know, there's like this power hierarchy, and a tool is, you know, again, has its affordances, does one thing, and that's kind of static. But at the same time, I think it would be, again, reducing art if I say, or being human if I say it's a collaborator. Because, this kind of symmetry is also not really the picture that I have in mind or the understanding that it is a collaborator as, again, a system that can imitate my improvisation. So, yeah, but what it is to me, I think it's some kind of an interlocutor, so something that I'm in dialogue with, or at least that's what I like it to be.
Besides AI, your work combines classical music, technology, and linguistics. Is it a balance, or does one area dominate?
Could be learning a language affected how I work with a computer, because I do programming in SuperCollider, and that's also a language that you learn. And that's maybe the most basic way of that it connects. In terms of the balance that you mentioned, I think for me, the balance shifts kind of, but what I do know is that sound is always the ground for me. So even if I'm working with dancers, even if I'm making an installation or doing a live performance, or even when I'm reading philosophy, you know, like sound is the ground for me always, at least in my practice. And I think the balance shifts for me, and all these different things, like, for example, motion capture technologies or machine learning models or linguistics, as you mentioned, they're all for me a way of articulating something that exists as a sonic intuition, let's say.
Are you aiming for a kind of a mutual sonic development?
Yes, that's what I would say. And me learning more about the model and the model learning more about me. And this is, this again goes back to this collective aesthetic discovery that, you know, I'm interested in what we can achieve together that me as an artist alone could not have achieved, or with something like a piano, that there's something that I can achieve with computers that I cannot with a piano. And I think, as I said, this like dialogue, this conversation, I think I would say for me, the emergence that comes out of it is really interesting.
How do you relate your work to this year's Blaues Rauschen theme, between breath and algorithm?
I think it's really an interesting coincidence because these series of performances that I'm recently doing, I'm also doing it under the title of Between Flesh and Inference, which was like a magical match between the theme and this. For example, in my case, when working with dancers or myself with motion captures, taking it very literally, it's my body movement. It's my kind of like my breath that is getting fed into the system as data. And then there's an algorithm that kind of deals with it and makes a decision based on that, based on the analysis, and generates something in return. So it's definitely the conversation in between the two, and it relates a lot to embodied knowledge for me. And also, again, going back to the idea of not going for optimization, working with the body and the computer, with having in mind that they are very different forms of intelligence, and kind of making creative use of that gap is what interests me. For example, the machine can be quite sensitive. If the sensors are said to be quite sensitive, then if I'm doing a movement or a dancer is doing a movement, their hesitation, their tension that maybe they're not even aware of is getting fed into the algorithm. And the algorithm kind of like responds to that. And then, you know, that again takes the dancer into a different direction if I'm talking about an improvisational setting in general.
Thank you, Fasané and Merce, for these insights. We now look forward to experiencing these two performances live and discovering how sound, body, and technology interact in real time. You've been listening to Blaues Rauschen podcast. Thanks to our guests and thanks to all listeners. Please find more information and episodes on our website at blauesrauschen.de and feel free to join us at the festival. Blaues Rauschen.